Before we get to tonight's Walking Dead recap, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of Post Show Recaps. Those are friends over at True Car. Every car comes with its share of stories. There's that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, just like Henry trying to go on a date with Lydia. There's that luxury package you got after that big promotion, or the mileage you saved riding your bike all summer long, but you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car. You can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or to trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a True Cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True Cash offer not available in all areas. The Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 11 is over, but we are just getting started here on The Walking Dead post-show recap for Bounty. And now here are the two people who are not here for movie time, just TV time. I am Rob Sisterino here with Jessica Lees. Jessica, how are you?
Well, you know, Rob, if I had a projector bulb at my disposal, I might be watching Walking Dead in a different medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really went all in on the hunt for the projector bulb this week.
Yeah, this was like in the middle of this episode that was full of like really genuinely suspenseful and evil moments. Then yeah. You had this like little Ocean's 8 thing happening in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was two odd stories to sort of be intercut that we had sort of like this big hostage standoff that was going on between Daryl and Alpha over the exchange of Lydia for Alden and Luke. And then on the other hand, it was, like a buddy comedy.
Yeah, it was very strange, like complete with funk soundtrack and montage. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we're going to go get this artifact out of this cool location. And Walking Dead does these set pieces very well, where it's like, let's think about a place where people in the non-zombie apocalypse have fun and have recreation, and let's see what happens to that place after the zombie apocalypse. We've seen it, like we've seen a carnival, we've seen department stores. Mm-hmm. On Fear of the Walking Dead, we saw a water park. Mm-hmm. Like, how many of these are we going to get?
Yeah. And why are there always so many walkers there? Like, what was this scenario where, like, was there like some big release that came out and then a walker got in there and turned everybody in the theater?
I guess that must be what happened. I would imagine, like, the last thing I would want to do if there was a rumor of a zombie apocalypse happening, mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to Disneyland.
Yeah. So they always like have like a million walkers at these places, and we'll just suspend our disbelief here if it looks cool. And it certainly did. But that's probably not the bigger story tonight. We had everything going on with the very tense exchange between Daryl and Alpha, and ultimately Lydia is back home.
Yep, back with her mommy.
Back with her mom. But just, did you watch the preview for next week's episode?
I did.
Yes.
It was very creepy and weird.
It was very creepy and weird because I really feel like that based on the preview, and I'd like to talk about the preview if that's not going to bother any of the listeners, if you want to stop or skip ahead. But the preview for next week almost makes it seem like that, like, Lydia was a plant the whole time. She was just got captured to mess with Henry. And then this was all part of the plan to have Henry come chase Lydia.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if that was the plan or if they're just going to roll with it because that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And it was equally, like, I started to wonder if that was what was going on the second that Lydia, like, thanks Alpha for coming to get her. Mm-hmm. It was like, that's not the kind of thing it's not the kind of conversation you're going to have if you don't want to be going.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk Henry again. So, Henry,
I'm gonna go get my popcorn, Rob.
Stupid, stupid idiot. Of course you go, and we're working on this big prisoner exchange. You know, hundreds of lives hang in the balance, and you, stupid idiot, have to go and let the prisoner out. I wish that she would have just killed him last week when he let her out of the cell. And then, of course, in true stupid Henry idiot fashion, they go to the safe house where everybody knows he's going to take her. And then I was so happy when stupid idiot Henry ran away from home to go chase the girl that he met like a day ago. And I can only hope that the whisperers end up just putting us all out of their misery. But then I was even more annoyed that stupid Daryl went to go look for him. Cut bait.
Yeah. And stupid Connie decides she has to go with Daryl for some reason because
why?
She cares about Henry for reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And of course, you stupid idiot, Henry. Of course, it's all going to be a trick. I mean, this guy is catfished 9 ways to Sunday.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I think I can't tell what's going on with the Whisperers right now. It's really hard to say that Lydia was definitely a plant/spy and definitely is Team Whisperer because she had many chances to just go back home when it counted and she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sort of appears to go over willingly, but maybe not. But is she going to be happy to see Henry, or is she just going to be like, oh, I thought we were done with that. I thought that was a thing that happened and now he's followed her.
Right.
It's really hard to tell if she's in on it truly or if she really has had a taste of the good life. But I do think it is worth pointing out that I think the Whisperers have it better than they're letting on.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they know how to eat a worm and they can, they are quasi-nomadic, but how are they living so well that none of them are skeletal and they're even able to have a baby that's not even a newborn? That was like legit a 9-month-old baby.
Yeah, but then they were going to, I mean, that was the most chilling part of this whole episode.
Oh,
and
yeah,
really, one of the more chilling things that I've seen on The Walking Dead in a while, where, Alpha just looks at that woman and is like, all right, well, you know, hey, easy come, easy go. And really, I think one of the first times we've seen a baby crying during the zombie apocalypse. I mean, that we saw a Judith that for years we said like, boy, Judith really never cries. So Judith would have fit right in with the Whisperers, that she would have been fine. But yeah, Alpha's just like, all right, go, you know, leave the baby on the grounds, you know, let's see what happens. And I thought it was looking really bad for that baby.
Yeah, and you get the sense that it's probably not the first time that's happened.
Yeah.
But that baby made it like probably 8.5 months further than I thought a baby would have made it living rough like the Whisperers are living.
Right. It was also weird that they didn't just have that woman like walk further away or anything like that. Like it seemed like that just put the baby down. It seemed like that was weird that was the only plan.
Yeah, or like maybe have some of the other Whisperers draw the walkers away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's a lot of things you could do with that that don't involve babies getting eaten.
Yeah, but that was really, really intense. And, you know, I guess that we saw the shades of that last week with Alpha when we saw in the flashback, like the guy that was screaming and she was like, shut this guy up.
Yeah, you certainly know that what she is capable of from that. And you also know that there are some lines that this show doesn't cross for all of the like dark and creepy and gross that this show can be. There's places they are not willing to go. And some of it, like, especially you see it when you read the comics, because there are places the comic is willing to go that are along these lines that the show will not touch with a 10-foot pole.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does seem like when you see a scene like that, you almost know, okay, well, this baby is going to be all right because the show won't go there. And you know that on some level, but it's still, it's a testament to how well done this episode was, or at least this scene in particular, that I still was on the edge of my seat. I was still worried that something was going to happen to that baby. And maybe it's just that I'm a sucker because I have one of these things of my own, but
right.
It's like, I didn't honestly know that that baby was going to be okay, even though on some level I did.
Yeah, and that sequence I thought was really well done, because then we have the scene then when Connie comes out, and then we had the, you know, Connie POV in the cornfield, which was really well executed.
Yeah, that was beautiful. That was very scary and really hard to watch, but also a lot of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they did a really great job with that. So, yeah, very complimentary about everything that went on in the standoff between Daryl and Alpha. And Alpha, I think, is doing, you know, a really good job. I think that Alpha is very scary in and menacing in the way that she talks about everything with Daryl. And I think she's a good villain for the show.
Yeah, she's got to lose that accent. The accent
is like
killing
it?
Me.
What part of it? What's killing you about it?
My daughter.
This daughter!
It's like on Lost when Claire kept talking about her baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. My daughter.
Mm-hmm.
P.S.
Daughter!
P.S. Yeah. The woman with the baby should have been like, oh, so when it's your kid, we can go this far out of our way to go get it. But if it's my kid, I got to leave it on the ground.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird that, you know, Alpha has like a completely bald head, but Lydia has like such a nice head of hair. You would think that, you know, Alpha would sort of like maybe, is it like she's the queen bee? I'm just going to have the bald head and then everybody else can do whatever they want. I mean, Lydia has very nice hair.
Yeah, she's got some nice layers going. Like, who's cutting her hair?
I don't know. You would think that Alpha would say, okay, that's it. Look, you're going to be wearing this zombie mask all day. I'm telling you, bald head is the way to go.
Well, yeah, definitely Alpha's got it figured out. Like, that is not just a scary aesthetic choice, although it does work as that. But if you're going to be wearing like a sweaty human skin mask over your face 24/7, definitely don't have hair.
Yeah, but I don't know. Well, I guess next week we'll find out. Like, it was Lydia, like this plant that they were like cultivating for years of like, okay, we have to make you have like the best hair, because then you're going to go in and infiltrate and get stupid Henry to fall in love with you. You're going to be our honeypot that we're going to send in across enemy lines to get some stupid idiot to fall in love with you. Then he'll let you out and then he'll come follow you. And then that will be, you know, the key cog, which is going to give us a lot of negotiating leverage over these guys.
Are we going to get a makeover montage next week? Like, are we going to flashback to like turning Lydia into a stone cold hottie?
So you think that she's all that it, Lydia?
Oh yeah. They took this like 16-year-old feral child with a bald head, and like over the course of many months, like she grows her hair out and they teach her how to like walk and how to speak clearly and how to eat with utensils.
Yes.
And then send
and
her
took,
out.
It took her
world.
Glasses off.
Yep. It's like the Princess Diaries.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, I mean, we will see what's going to happen. I mean, do you feel like that was theater when Lydia came out and then Alpha slapped her and said, call me Alpha?
I don't know what's theater and what's not. Like, I feel like the Whisperers are a lot of theater, and I think we're going to go into their camp next week. We're going to find out how they really live. And I think it's probably not, it's probably pretty dire, but it's probably not quite as dire as they're making it out to be.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about the way that Daryl handled this negotiation?
I think that Daryl, he could have saved himself a lot of headache. Like, he definitely dragged the negotiation out a little too long.
Mm-hmm.
Really had nothing to offer them except Lydia. And it seems like there are other tactics he could have tried. Like, I think he could have come out with a lowball offer to start, like just to kind of get the negotiations going.
Yes, everything I learned about this. Yes, you know, that's how I've seen it done.
I've seen it done, and you can get a lot of stuff that way if you really play your cards right.
Yeah. Daryl did say that he was going to light up the Whisperers and Alpha, and you know that we were talking in last week's episode, where what don't they have a lot of firepower? Couldn't they just take them out? And you know, the baby ends up serving as a shield. I mean another reason why for Alpha it seemed like an odd move, just like, all right, get rid of the baby, lose the baby. Like, well, the baby was like the one thing that was keeping Daryl from just taking you guys all out with machine guns.
Yeah, but I think Alpha wants to be like, yeah, well, we don't value human life like that, so your threat means nothing to us. But on the other hand, it was like, okay, yeah, that baby gets eaten, and you just lost one of your big bargaining chips.
Mm-hmm. So, and then they took over the baby. I mean, what happened to the last baby that they took over? I mean, remember there was the baby that they rescued? That's it. So great. Is Gracie a part of the time jump?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen her yet, but I believe that they've mentioned that Aaron is still raising her, and that seems to be going okay.
Yeah, seems like that there is a lot of like stealing of babies that happens. It seems like how they're really doing a lot of repopulating at the Hilltop.
Yeah, that's true. They're kind of like. It's like they're adding to their population by just like kind of taking over other people's babies and bringing them in. And there's a lot of adoption going on that's maybe not 100% consensual. But you know, on the other hand, it's like Alpha can tell everybody, okay, we're going to do a trade. It's going to be two of your people for one of my people. But I'll sweeten the deal. Two of your people and a baby for one of my people.
If you act now for a limited time, you will get this free baby, yes, an exclusive baby of the Walkers for this Whisperers for a limited time offer. You get the Luke, you get the Alden, plus the baby. Act now. All you have to do is give us one daughter.
And I just want to point out that they, many times when you have a baby on set, it's played by a set of identical twins or triplets. And in this case, they didn't even try to get identical twins. It was just like a different baby in every single scene.
Oh, wow, Jess, that you have good baby dar that you were able to spot different babies.
Yeah, well, the first baby you see has a completely bald head and is like kind of fair complected. The next baby you see has a full head of dark hair and has brown eyes and is kind of a little bit swarthier. And it's like, that's not the same baby. You can't fool me. There were two babies.
Do we think that this lady from the Whisperers is ever going to say like, hey, can I have my baby back? Can I have my baby back, baby back, baby back, my baby back, baby back, baby back?
I could certainly see there being a point where she's
Hilltop.
Like, baby back, please. I could certainly see her raising this with Alpha and being like, so, you know, we got your kid. Can we go get mine now? And Alpha just shutting it down.
Yeah, very hypocritical.
Oh, it's super hypocritical. I would be upset with that. I would question Alpha's leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see if there's a coup among the Whisperers next week.
Yeah. I mean, there could be some dissension in the ranks.
Yeah. Nothing that putting Henry's head on a pike can't fix at the next Whisperers pep rally.
Or just putting someone's head on a pike.
Yeah. Anything that interested you between Henry and Enid in this episode?
I mean, am I supposed to be interested in who Henry wants to get with?
Boy, Henry is like a real key cog here in season 9 of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, well, he's a white teenage boy, and I'm given to understand that their impulses are what drive most of marketing, so.
Yeah. Is that it? I mean, just if you would have told me 2 years ago that, like there's this kid who is like fighting with a bunch of the saviors. Well, that kid's brother in about 2 years is going to be the third most important character on the show. Like that, the little kid. Yes, yes, he's going to be hugely impactful. And then he will be getting about 35% of the screen time on the show in 2 years.
Well, Rob, I hope it's
Rick
not.
And Carl will be gone. And this kid is going to be basically the third lead on the show.
Well, Rob, I hope it's not spoiling too much to point out that they were kind of writing themselves into a corner when they wrote Chandler Riggs off of the show because Carl had such an integral storyline. They had to give that story to somebody, and they're like, well, this kid will probably be about that age at that point, so why don't we just give it to him?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically all the thought that went into that. It's like, we don't really care if he's a very good actor or if the character himself is all that good at anything ever. In fact, let's just make him much stupider because that will ratchet up the tension. And that's how we get that. It's more like we need the story to go in this direction and we don't have these pieces on the board anymore. So what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it looks like, of the 3 hours of the show, I mean, have we had like significant Henry time in each of the three episodes? And it looks like next week will be no different. Like, we have barely seen Michonne. We've barely seen Judith. We saw Carol for the first time tonight. And we're going to get 4 episodes in a row of major Henry storyline.
It's going to be the Henry show, especially once we lose Michonne.
Well, hey, why don't they spin off a Henry series?
I think they need to call it Henry with an exclamation point.
Oh, Henry.
Oh, Henry.
Yes. He's got the plot armor. We need this guy. Scott Gimple. Get on it. Okay. Jesse, let's talk about what's going on the other side of this episode where we had really the fun-filled jaunt to the movie theater to get the projector bulb. Episode started with a flashback to a time in between the time jump when Carol had medium hair.
Yeah, this I didn't love. This felt like a really cheap way to tell the story. I think we didn't need this scene at all. We could have just started with Ezekiel saying, hey, we got to go get the projector bulb. We didn't need to have this interstitial part where they're talking about going somewhere and Jerry's like, oh, hey, by the way, Nabila's pregnant. We could just say later on that,
Jerry, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, congratulations for knocking one past the goalie.
For getting your wife bunned up, Jerry.
She is preggers.
You say that she's up the pole?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. And not even she is, they are.
They are.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised he didn't like start whipping out lingo from Juno.
Why Juno?
Well, because Juno had all these great, like, hipstery euphemisms for being pregnant.
Oh, yes.
Thundercats are go, and I am 4 shiz up the spout. He was going full Juno with that, and later on, he references another movie that is near and dear to my heart, but that's
Movie time! Is it just me or is Jerry like pretty Jack now?
Sorry, that one cut out.
Sexy Jerry.
Oh yeah,
you're lucky. You're lucky.
I'm sorry that I didn't hear you say that. But well, I think that is entirely appropriate because remember, like all the times that people tweet at us all the time, like, oh well, how are there still fat people in the zombie apocalypse if everybody has to work so hard to get their food? And like, why isn't anybody losing weight or getting more buff while they have to kill all these zombies? Well, there's your answer. They are, and they did. And Jerry is like super buff now.
Yeah, like Jerry's like on the Chris Pratt diet. Like he's going from Parks and Rec Chris Pratt to like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I love Jerry. He's maybe my favorite character.
Yeah. And then such a good dad. Nabila is sleeping and Jerry is up on like feeding duty. Jerry does it all.
Yeah, Jerry's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew that already. But I think we didn't need to have him like drop the news that he's going to have kids. It could just be like, oh, it's 10 years later. People got up to some stuff and Jerry got up to having kids and he is a dad now. And that's just a thing that happened. We don't need to know how or why or when he told Ezekiel about it.
Yeah. I was very surprised we had a Jesus sighting tonight.
I'm not, because they needed to drop Jesus in there so you knew it was a flashback. You can't just tell by Carol's hair.
You can tell by Carol. Yeah, she doesn't have her legless hair yet.
Yeah, and it was so heavy-handed the way they dropped this. Like, Jerry drops the knowledge, and then they're like, we're going to have to definitely tell you it's definitely a flashback because, oh, here comes Jesus, and he's still alive, and he's going to mention that Maggie's still there, so now you know when it is, and it's such a dirty trick. It was so dumb.
But I thought that the Jesus had, like, a... You know, there was some acrimonious parting of the ways.
Well, there was. And apparently this predates that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's what they're meant to, like, they're meant to be like, they also needed to have this scene to introduce the charter, which we need to talk about.
Right. No, but I had thought that Tom Payne, the actor, had... Sort of like, I mean, remember when you gave that interview to Josh? He's like, yeah, they don't use my character. So, yeah, I wanted to be out of here.
Yeah, but they could have filmed that scene at any point. Like, doesn't have to have been like on that shooting schedule for that. He also was probably contracted to at least one more episode. And that was why, you know, we got his dead body in another episode and we get this scene because they're just running out his contract.
Okay. All right. Well, they had him there in the flashback. And so we had the Constitution delivered. Now, Jessica, do we have the backstory exactly right on this Constitution? Who wrote this document?
I believe Michonne wrote it. I think she gave up on this.
She gave up on it?
Yeah, we did get some of this. Like, Michonne was having this arc kind of near the end of last season before the time jump where she said, like, this is important. We need to think about these things. And I was a lawyer, so I'm going to talk about it. And this is how society is. And then all of the capital T things happened that they keep alluding to but won't tell us about. And that was the point where Alexandria became more isolationist and wasn't into the idea of this charter. And everybody stops speaking to everybody. And the kingdom is just like, why can't we all just get along? And certain people on the hilltop are like, yeah, I know, right? But the rest of the hilltop is mad at everybody. And Alexandria is mad at everybody. And they drew up this charter and got almost as far as getting it signed. But that didn't happen. And so Jesus has been keeping it safe all this time, apparently.
But what's the problem that Michonne didn't kill Negan when we saw that Maggie wanted to? Is that what the beef is?
That's where it started, I think. But there are other things, like, you know, we've seen Michonne and Daryl have these conversations that are all like kind of nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Remember that time you did that thing? And we don't know what that thing is or what they're even talking about. And this is one of those things. I think there's more to it. And they're not going to necessarily give it to us until some point where it's more advantageous to the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that. Like, that's Fear the Walking Dead caliber storytelling, and I'm not here for that.
Uh-oh.
Like, just tell me what the thing is. It can't be that important. It's probably going to be a letdown, whatever it is, especially if you keep building it up like this. You know, okay, we get it. There was a schism, and then nobody signed the Constitution, but Ezekiel is pretty sure that someday they are all going to sign the Constitution. And I'm pretty sure that I don't think it's going to be this season because I'm pretty sure what the final scene of this season is going to be. But I think the next season half, I would say the season 10A finale ends with people signing that Constitution.
Okay. Why did we need like the poster box for the Constitution?
Well, because he saw it and he's like, it's a nice frame. It's a good way to present it. And he remembers how they used to present the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a map on the back of the Constitution?
It looked pretty blank, but I think maybe if you hold it up to the right light, there could be something.
Okay. All right. So then we have everything that's going on at the movie theater. I mean, lots of fun set pieces, but any big takeaways from this, Jess?
I was sure somebody was going to die. Like, why else are we showing this caper, this kind of caper for something meaningless like this very dumb little MacGuffin? And why, what is the point? I thought this was going to be like a blow to Ezekiel's idealism that, you know, they go in after this thing that he wants just because of the joy it brings to children's faces. And then like Jerry or Diane or some other tertiary character ends up dying in service of it. I thought that was where we were going with it. And I guess I'm relieved that we didn't go that way.
What movie do you think that they're going to show at the Hilltop?
Well, I was going to ask you that very question.
What do they have?
Yeah, I think it's going to be down to whatever they have.
And I hope it's a kids movie.
Yeah, I'm sure it is a kids movie. I was thinking it's probably like, apparently the new hotness is for it to be a Fred Astaire movie.
We got
that whole short trek on Star Trek Discovery where they watched the Fred Astaire movie. And then I'm thinking also about the time they, in the Green Mile, when they take John Coffey to the movie house and he watches the Fred Astaire movie. So I'm going to say it's got something to do with Fred Astaire.
Gather round, children, that we are going to watch the beloved film Gulliver's Travels with Jack Black.
At least it's not Jack and Jill.
That's the other movie that they have.
Those are the only two movies they ever watch.
Is the movie part of the fair, Jess?
If I had a movie projector and I was trying to get people on board for my fair, this is definitely something I would offer them.
Yeah. Did you think that Carol and Ezekiel kissing in front of the projector, was that the wrong show?
That was cheesy AF.
what is this?
The only thing that would have made it cheesier is if the backdrop had been the movie they were watching and it was like people kissing on the screen and they're kissing in front of the screen.
Yeah. I mean, what is this? Like a Grey's Anatomy ending montage?
This episode tried to be all things to all people, I think.
The montage was wacky, and then we saw Enid in bed with Alden, and then like the camera is pans away from them in bed. What show is this?
Yeah, it was super weird. It was like, you know, everybody responds to the catharsis at the end of the episode in different ways. And like Daryl strikes out again, and this time he's got a companion. And then, you know, Eden and Alden go to town all over each other. And Carol and Ezekiel have a soft focus kiss. And Jerry hugs his children. It was tonally all over the map.
Yeah. Weird.
I didn't know how to feel about any of it.
Okay, well, here's something that we can maybe sink our teeth into, Jess. There was a character, and by character, I'm talking about a letter that was posted, a glyph. Am I using that word correctly, Jess?
I guess a glyph.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Okay. Chris
Hardwick seemed to be very into this idea.
Okay. A hieroglyphic that was on a signpost. Something was tagged with a marking, camera focused on it. Jess, do you immediately recognize this symbol?
I did not recognize it. I'm curious to see if you can tell me what that is.
Oh, I have no idea. But this is like classic Walking Dead of let's hint at what the next reveal is going to be. Like, forget about what's going on now. Let's get all amped up trying to talk about what's coming. Oh, the wolves are coming. Oh, the saviors are coming. Oh, the garbage people are coming. The whisperers are coming. All these other groups are always coming.
Yeah, it should have been like the Bandersnatch gif.
it was not too dissimilar.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. But I think we got a long way to go on the Whisperers before we can really start to think about who the next villain is. So I also surprised it wasn't just like a letter A, because we've been getting a lot of that too.
Yeah, which that's never been explained. Cobra Strike.
Yeah, Cobra Strike.
Okay. What about the Carol and Ezekiel relationship? I thought it ended on an odd note where they talked about like, look, I think everything is all the bad stuff is behind us now.
I think in a world where reanimated corpses are running around and like a bunch of your friends just watch someone leave a baby to get eaten by walkers, mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of a sweeping generalization to make.
Just, it seems like that we were starting to get some hints that the hilltop may be that the kingdom may be folding and they may need to go live at the hilltop.
Yeah, that seemed interesting. And I don't know exactly, like, I mean, I thought they were pretty bad off at the end of the Savior War because they pretty much all got mowed down. Like, anybody that was good at fighting got destroyed. And if there was a time where they were going to need to fold into another community, it seemed like that was going to be the time.
Mm-hmm.
If they could deal with that, I don't know what's going on that's so bad that they would have to consider that again. But if it's that bad, I don't think you can really say like all the bad times are over.
I don't know. But it seems like that we're going to see Ezekiel try to give it one more shot at the kingdom.
Yeah, And I think Ezekiel's the kind of guy that would just like keep trying to shoot the moon all the time.
He's going to tin cup it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Did they catch any of that elk?
Yeah, they did. There's a big elk. In fact, it was kind of a really fake looking elf. It looked like a stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
In the back of one of their car truck wagons.
Okay. Jess, anything else you want to touch on from this episode before we talk about the spoilers?
Hey, elk is delicious. I mean, more power. That's going to be a good meal.
Nobody is disparaging the elk.
It's going to be a good meal at the kingdom. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right.
That's it? That's it for the just one second. Mention the elk?
I wanted to give a special shout out to elk, which is very delicious.
Okay. All right. Jess, do you have comic book spoilers to talk about?
Oh, indeed I do.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. All right. So that's what we're going to do. If you are not so inclined to listen along, we will catch you next time. But for everybody else, let's go ahead and set up the Walking Dead Comic Book Zone.
Comic Book Zone. Tune out now as spoilers aren't what you want to know. Avoid hearing plot points about Rick or Michonne. Now's the last chance to turn off during the intro. Comic Book Zone.
Yes, thank you, Colin Latchford, who used to listen to this podcast. But and right now he's like Maggie. We just don't know. We don't know where. We haven't heard from him in a long time. Maybe he's got a new pilot. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Whiskey Cavalier.
Alan Sepinwall's been tweeting his review of it over and over and over again. I don't know why he keeps tweeting the same review out.
Because someone's got compromising photos of him.
I don't know. I guess so. Yeah. It just seems weird. It was a very middling review. I don't know why he's tweeted it out like 7 times.
I don't know, but I also
his review was great. His review is great, but his thoughts on the TV show were not, he wasn't blown away.
Yeah. Well, I also know that if Colin was still listening to the podcast, we might have gotten another version of the song that talks about people that are still on the show.
Yeah, maybe. He's busy. Okay.
I guess so.
All right, Jess, talk about the events tonight from Bounty.
Okay, well, let's back up for a second and talk about the sign with the character on it, because I think some of the fan theory out there right now is that it's the Whisperers marking their territory. And if we are following the comics, and I think there is a big plot point coming up where we do have to follow the comics, that can't be what's going on there. The Whisperers have a much better way of marking their territory that they are going to deploy with great force and to great impact. And I am 99.9% sure this will be the parting shot of the season 9B finale. The terrible thing. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I think you need to see it. You need to be there for it. But that's what's going to happen is this terrible thing that the Whisperers are going to do to mark their territory is how we close out the season. And that's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I agree. I don't think that this is the Whisperers. And if it was, I think we would have seen them like lurking in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they would have. I feel like they're not going to put cryptic symbols on things. They're just going to spell it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could this be the Vultures?
maybe. I mean, did they get this far east?
I don't know. They didn't take the projector bulb out of the movie theater. So
yeah, I don't think they made it here. They kind of stuck to Texas.
Okay. All right. So then, Jess, what else from the comics really caught your eye tonight?
Well, I think it's very interesting. We've talked about this a lot, about how Henry has to pick up Carl's slack now that Carl's not around. And I think it's really interesting how they've rewritten this role to be a little more guileless. In the comics, I mean, Carl has, you know, he's infiltrated the Saviors, so he knows what he's doing, kind of. And he is struck a little dumb by the fact that he's just lost his virginity to this girl. And you get the sense that anything stupid he does is because of that. But Henry is just like, Henry didn't even get any from this girl, and he's just off on a tangent.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. He had a job lined up and he's just going to walk away from his job, I guess. But it does strike me that they are sanitizing this story quite a lot. And I think it's not any worse for the telling because of that. And the fact that they've got this abject moron as the hero of the story kind of makes it more entertaining, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you are down with Hapless Henry?
I'm down with Hapless Henry. I think it's a good use of the character.
Hapless, horny Henry.
If we have to have this character, I think this is a good use of him.
Okay. In the comics, is it Rick that's doing the negotiations with Alpha?
Yeah, it's Rick that's doing... It's Rick and Maggie. I think it's a lot of Maggie who's still there, and she's leading the Hilltop. But there's... The negotiations go a little bit differently because there's no, like, Alpha is not attempting at all to humanize herself. There's no baby in that scene, which if there had been a baby, I think Kirkman would have had no qualms about just having the baby get eaten. But there is no, like, amazing scene through the cornfield. It's just like she rolls up and she's dressed as a walker and she says, "Give me my daughter back." They go back and forth a little bit and they're like, what if she doesn't want to go? And it's like, that's not my problem. She's got to come with us. And so then she does. And then Carl takes off after them. It's a little bit less exciting. I think the show definitely improved over it in a lot of ways. But I think the major beats of it are the same. And we'll see, like, the next thing that happens is that Carl/Henry takes off after them and goes into the camp. And this is how we're going to get our entry point into how they really live and how things are for them. And then because they have come back for Lydia, there will be consequences and there will be that conflict that Alpha has promised.
Just based on how this is tracking, do you think that we're going to be done with the Whisperers at the end of season 9? Do you think that the Whisperers will continue into season 10?
I think we get the Whisperers for the first half of season 10, and I think we may get them in little bits after that. I think there's kind of one more major story after they resolve this particular conflict that's coming. And that is a really fun thing that goes exactly the way you think it's going to when you think about all the characters that are involved. And so I think we've got two more stories to tell with the Whisperers. We have to kick off this conflict. We have to resolve the conflict, and then we have to have the next thing that happens to the Whisperers. So I think we have at least a half a season of them after this season.
Okay. Jess, anything else you want to touch on here tonight?
Well, I think another thing that I think the show has improved on over the comics, Samantha Morton is Alpha. She mastered this dead behind the eyes psychopath thing. And it's fantastic and creepy and terrifying. And
even though you don't like the accent,
I hate the accent. Like if she could just play this like she did in Sweet and Low Down and not ever say anything, and she'd be way creepier. But she has this presence that's really amazing. And Alpha in the comics is a lot sexier, which is weird and doesn't make sense, except that they can't conceive of a female character that isn't sexy in some way. And so I like this. I think it's a little bit better. There's an interesting arc where because they have seen her as a human now, she has to play it differently later on. And so I'm going to be really interested to see how they pull that off.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures from Alpha in the comic. Definitely not as Anakin Skywalker-y as the TV show perception portrayal.
It's true. She doesn't have any black lipstick or anything.
Yeah. So I guess it's an upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's like weirdly clean in the comics. Like,
right.
How are you wearing a dead person's face over your face and you look this clean and shiny?
Yeah. Like, who was commanding officer in Star Trek, the motion picture that V'ger took over?
Yeah. The V'ger person. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Jess, any other thoughts?
I think that's about it for me for the comics for this week. But we're coming up on some really cool things that the show is bringing to life, this arc in the comics that I didn't like at all. And now I'm like on tenterhooks. I want to see how it happens next. I want to see how they bring it to life on the screen. And that's kind of amazing. Like, all these characters that I didn't care about, I suddenly care very deeply about. And I'm
You were dreading excited. This.
Yeah, I was dreading it. I hate the Whisperers. I think they're stupid. Their way of life sucks and they don't make any sense. But the show has changed my mind on this a little bit.
Hey, and if they kill Henry next week, I'm going to be all in.
Yeah, I think, he might be saving Henry's death for like a major cathartic plot point. And I think we want Henry's death to be as cathartic as possible.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give him to the season finale.
Okay. TikTok. That's good.
Okay. But that's it. That's it. I want Henry done. That's my ultimatum.
All right. Well,
there will be no conflict if you just axe Henry.
From your mouth to Angela Kang's ears.
Okay. All right. Jess, great work once again.
Thank you, Rob, and you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm just trying to keep up, but I appreciate it. Of course, you could hear Jessica on our Star Trek Discovery recap with Michael. How is season 2 of Disco progressing?
Season 2 of Disco is great. Any day now, Spock is going to show up on this show. You just have to keep waiting. He's like the Great Pumpkin. He is going to appear.
Yes. Okay. You guys liked this week's episode? I saw, again, I see a lot of TV reviews in my Twitter timeline. I saw some critics not liking this week's episode.
Well, it was funny. We both found it entertaining, but Mike liked it for all of the reasons that I hated it.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very interesting podcast to hear us disagree.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you guys were able to work it all out. Of course, you could hear Josh Wigler and myself in our rewatch of Game of Thrones. We've got our season 7, episode 3 rewatch coming this week as well. Of course, you could follow Jess on Twitter. She is at Haymaker Hattie. I am at Rob Sestrino. Thanks so much. Jess, anything else?
Nope. I'm good.
All right. Talk to you next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.